We don't know if the podcast has begun or not, but...
I vote no.
Today could be a wonderful day for many reasons. We might get mail from the postman. Or we might just get a
podcast from Jacob Seeroff.
Because I'm back.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
I like free beer.
Welcome back.
Oh, yeah, man, how you doing?
And we're back! Live from the Red Lion!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Live from the Red Lion, recorded in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Live from the Red Lion is a Jarnair Networks production, brought to you by In the Points, Season 4.
Talking on the mic, might as well.
Yeah, how's it sound?
Good.
My mic sounds nice, check one.
Yep.
My mic sounds nice, check one.
Yep.
My mic sounds nice, check one.
Pretty good, pretty good.
My mic sounds nice, check one.
Pretty good. Am I yelling right now because I'm wearing the headphones?
Nope.
All right.
It sounded good, though.
Pretty good.
I had like a real, I did like a sound check last night, which you don't get to do in comedy very often.
This
is like two nights in a row I get to check sound. Check sound. I'm sure the satellite, but it was like, there was like a real like...
Oh, pick up your mic, talking to him, sound check.
Real, like comedians usually just show up and that shit's taken care of.
But yeah.
I'd like to do some...
How early, Jeff?
Like hour 15, like about an hour, yeah. It ended up being like a really empty show, but it was
Do fun. They like tink, like... What's it called? Tinker? Is that the word? Tinker?
Tinker?
Is that the word?
I think that's the official. I think that's the official audio tech word.
Yeah.
Can I get my voice tinker? Can I get tinker? A little tinkering in my monitor.
How does one become an audio tinkler?
What's that?
How does one become an audio tinker? It sounds like a good profession.
School, I think. There's like tech school for that kind of thing.
We're at the Air Force Base right now at a Tinker Elementary School.
And we're back. Shout out to the Red Lions staff as
shout
always.
Out.
Shout out.
Shout out to the staff.
I remember last time you were on. We'll get into all that. We got a repeat guest here. We'll get into the intro, but first things first, we got to get the shot going. And I remember last time our guest here was talking about he's a schnapps expert. And
not at all a schnapps expert. I recommended a shot.
We had something different.
Was the Opstler thing? Was the apple pear?
That
schnapps?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
But there's one that's like, I think it's a cherry one. I forget what it's called, which is like really high alcohol.
I had that one before. I could do that one. We got to
hold on.
See if we can find it.
Oh yeah, we haven't got food or anything yet, but get whatever. We'll probably get it in a bit.
What are you guys gonna get?
I just made
potatoes all around.
Made a lot of spaghetti.
Yeah,
filled up.
You made spaghetti at home?
Yeah, I'm pretty proud of it. I've been hyping it up off the mic. I spent 4 hours on a pasta sauce.
Oh, so you make your own sauce? You don't fuck around.
I went for it yesterday. Yeah, that's first dumb. Time.
My father used to make his own pasta sauces. Both my parents actually made good pasta sauce from scratch, which I took for granted as a kid because I wasn't a big pasta eater. Now I like it.
Yeah,
I wish they're dead. I wish they were alive.
Yeah,
I don't remember if I talked about that last time.
I think you
I
did.
Usually talk you about my dead parents, but it's weird because I'm not trying to sleep with you guys. That's usually when I bring it up. For like sympathy, but
ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for
who the fuck is that guy?
My father, who was like diagnosed pretty late in life, is bipolar. His pasta sauces were a real reflection of that, and they would like because he just started. They started getting more and more crazy, and he'd like put all these different ingredients in. There's these meat sauces that got really. At first, they were like, okay, he's experimenting, and then it was just like oxtails and crazy shit. And then he'd make these sauces, and he'd never even eat them. He would just make them and put them in Tupperware, and put a piece of masking tape on the lid with like the date on it, and then put them in the fridge, and then they would just like. And then he just keep making more, and there was no time or way to. Or he was never making pasta that I remember. He was always just making sauce, and he'd end up just throwing these away. He'd just do it as like this manic obsession, like create these crazy pasta sauces.
So it's like
I'm sure that's why you brought it up, right?
Yeah, no, yeah, it is.
My father was—he was really obsessive about food. And when my brother and I lived with him as teenagers, he had a whole shelf that was just for him. That was like the second shelf on the bottom was his shelf. So anything on that shelf, like we weren't allowed to eat, and it was like everything good was on that shelf. And the pasta sauces would go on that shelf, but we'd sneak an oxtail every now and then.
Did he actually eat everything that
no,
was on that
never,
shelf?
No, never, but okay. It was just like, it was more, I think it started as kind of like, look, I'm buying shit, and you guys are eating it all, not saving me any, or I don't want you eating all, you know,
right.
eating all the good tuna or whatever. And then, so he had this whole shelf of his, it just developed in this thing where like, okay, whatever's on this shelf, you guys don't touch. And then it was like, there was just crap on all the other shelves. It was like tumbleweeds blowing. And he had just like all these awesome snacks and stuff. Yeah, he would never eat the stuff on the shelf.
That's kind of torture too, because he said second shelf from the bottom, that you could reach that pretty easily.
It's like the first shelf you see. When
yeah,
you
would think you would put it up high if you had children. Yeah.
Have you
we were like teenagers at this point.
Have you carried this on to your kids?
No, I try not to, but I do find myself getting a little like, you know, like I don't like when they finish stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like don't take the last of something. Or all of something.
Yeah.
I could feel his frustration there, but I would never, when I find myself kind of being that way, I check it because I remember how bad that sucked.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, you can't really blame the children. I mean, it's literally your fault.
When you're like a latchkey kid and you come home from school and it's just like you're hungry and you don't know how to cook, and it's like, oh, don't eat any of the stuff that's good to
eat.
Well,
no, I just mean specifically because you had children.
Yeah.
You created them and then now they're taking you.
Right. That's true. Yeah. That's true. That's a weird thing to like create life and then not feed it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess it gets worse like in other places. Yeah. That was another thing he did. I don't know. I really just came here for free therapy. Is that okay?
Yeah. Go for it. Into it.
He would one time we came home from he made dinner. He was a good cook, and we came home like this, like in high school. We got home like 20 minutes after it was ready, and he was like, "I'm never cooking you guys dinner again. So for now, I want to give you $5 for dinner every night." And fucking he. Was a man of his word. He never cooked another meal the rest of his life, and every night he'd just give us $5. And back then, this is like the early 90s, you could eat at Taco Bell, like you could get a
meal.
That's
what I was wondering.
$5.
Just go fast food every night.
Yeah, exactly. You'd get a meal. And then eventually we'd go, "Hey, can I get that $5? And he'd say, "Not my job, son. Not my responsibility." And then we're like 16, 17. We're still minors at this point.
Yeah.
It went from like you get $5 a day to fucking feed yourselves.
Is it just like work for your food and get your own $5 or something?
I guess that was the idea, but we took it as, oh, steal the money from my wallet. And buy weed and don't eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should
we start getting into the...
Shout out to my dad.
Shout out, maybe.
Yeah. I think we should base the whole podcast around this, but yeah, I was saying, do the intro.
We going in the dads early, or okay?
Yeah, we've been in the dads.
Let's go in the intros.
In the intros, basically, I just want to say that voice you've been hearing with the manic depressive dead dad is a previous guest, actually our first repeat guest.
No, well, really? If you count Colleen, technically it's our
second repeat guest.
Colleen? Really? Yeah. We're gonna count Colleen now.
Colleen, social media director. From Champaign to Agora Hills to West LA, Sad Girls Guide. We might get into that. I don't know what you want to talk about, but here we are, live in the points.
We in the points. Everyone tweet at In the Points on Twitter what your favorite German beer is, or just any beer that you prefer on your night.
Like mainly I do social media for In the Points. People are smashing that like button and I'm very happy to see it.
Oh, this is like the cool punk girl.
As In the Points, West Side, LA correspondent.
People are smashing that like button and I'm very happy to see it.
People are smashing that like button and I'm very happy to see it.
Yeah, it was like a half a time.
First repeat guest of season four.
Four.
This is now season four. You heard him all the way back in season three.
Episode 7. Are you doing the intros now?
No. yeah, Jake, you want to do this
I know
intro?
Season 4 is no segments, but I didn't realize we were having no rules
either.
Yeah,
you take the intro.
Yeah, we are at the Red Lion, which is a bar in Silver Lake, which is in Los Angeles, which is in California, which is in the United States, which is on planet Earth, which is in the Milky Way galaxy.
A medium-sized galaxy and a cluster full of medium-sized galaxies.
That's correct.
There it is.
There we go.
Did we do that last time? You pointed.
You did it.
I'm gonna repeat everything I said last time.
That's fine.
But you threw to me, so I had a feeling that's what I was supposed to say.
Yeah, yeah.
But last time it was a real riff. A medium-sized galaxy and a cluster of medium-sized galaxies.
Galaxy. Might have to add that on. Yeah. It was. It's a complete riff. Yeah.
It's also
riff,
true.
Riff in the space time continuum. Yeah.
And Jake's been saying it on every podcast since.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's pretty much usually blows the guest's mind when they hear that. Dude, like, wow, these guys know what they're talking about.
And does that, like, for me, that feels like a kind of a common thing you always hear. Like, even if you don't know about science, you just hear that fact. Like, I don't know that to be true. I can't picture the cluster of galaxies. It's just something I've always heard.
Just like
heard.
A common phrase. Yeah.
Just
as
a common thing. Like, yeah, you know, it's like, don't get a big head. We're a medium galaxy. It's a very Jewish way to look at the universe.
Yeah.
We're just a medium galaxy in a cluster.
Just be your own galaxy. Don't touch other galaxies.
Yeah.
But yes, that was Jacob Siroff.
Yeah.
I was waiting for a long applause break.
Whenever you hear the dead air of us just looking at each other for somebody to say.
You guys plan the edits for sound drops?
Nope.
But we say them out loud so we remind ourselves what to do.
Yeah. Jacob Siroff, like I said, had him on season 3. He's back. And sitting next to me is Mike S.
Mike Seiler. Rick Engelstrom, you know, many names.
Duplicitous man
with, you know, I'm just one guy at the end of the day who likes to come to the Red Line and drink. Yeah.
I think that's every man. Sitting across from him is Will Hagel at Willie the Squid on Twitter.
Yes, hello. I have the headphones this time, monitored the audio. I'm not wearing them right now.
Why aren't you wearing them?
This table's all staring at us, wondering what's going on. I should probably get them on.
I think you should wear them.
Let me just check the quality.
I'll wear them if you don't want to wear them.
Will, are you going to say your pre-recorded bit?
Pretty good headphones,
they
honestly.
They look like there's like speakers on the outside of them, they look like.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's going on with that? That's cool.
Are those active canceling, noise canceling?
I don't think so, but you guys are all loud in my
head. It looks
like
they're going to play your thoughts out loud to us. It's like, it really looks like they're made of giant speaker. Like you have like tens on your head.
It does, yeah. If you guys want to try, if you guys want to experience this, we'd pass the. If you want to check the headphones,
I think after a few shots, I'll give it a shot. Yeah,
I don't know if I'm ready for headphone sharing yet.
Yeah,
but I'll get a couple drinks.
Might have ear lice.
Yeah.
But yeah, should we start it how we always do it? Season 4.
Yeah, well,
back
we
and
changed
ready,
it up a little
and stronger
bit. Season
than ever
4.
Before.
We got a new first question. I forgot to tell Mike.
Oh wow!
I've never been on a podcast where there was a whisper.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
This is not a bit.
Our new
we got
segment
to prepare today.
Our new segment, which I'm hearing now, is what do you? Almost blew it. How's the temperature?
Oh, I talked over it.
How's the temperature?
It's reasonable.
That's good. That's good. I like the question too.
It was hot or it was cold outside, but now that I'm in the Red Line, I'm feeling
kind of
toasty.
Yeah.
It's a good temp. It's not 100 degrees, which it was like a week and a half ago, so that's nice.
It's hot as fuck.
Yeah, we're settling into autumn here. I there's always an angle when you guys have these questions. I'm going to we'll figure out where I want to get to the bottom of what that meant or what the significance of the question was. But that was interesting, like watching the World Series. Game 1 was like 103 degrees.
Yeah.
Hottest game temperature at start time, however you
really?
Would say that, for any World Series ever. And then they came back a week later, and it was and it was like a little less than a week later, and it was 60 degrees. It was 63 degrees. It was like a 40-degree swing. That's pretty crazy.
That's
you know what I mean? Welcome to Los Angeles. You know what I mean, guys?
Yeah.
Welcome to Los Angeles.
It proves that global cooling is a real thing. All right, not well received. All right, we'll keep.
Well, they switched it to climate change, so.
True.
That joke would have crushed in the 80s.
Yeah.
You're ahead of your time.
So you were asking about the question. It was just a small change from how was the weather today? How was the temperature?
How's the temperature?
Yeah,
I'll say
it sounds
like
so specifically vague, like non-specific.
I said it like probably 30 times or so now, and I literally stumbled. That even after Jake whispered in my ear, I couldn't say it. I was too confused.
But you were like, "Oh, good one!" Yeah. And it was just like, "How's the temperature?"
Yeah, I like it though, and I'm excited for a season 4 full of good temperatures and
not a lot of bad temperatures in Los Angeles. But it'll get chilly. I'm looking forward to the chill.
I do want to get into my first segment, which is a new one, and it's called It's Kind of Getting Chilly, Isn't It?
Oh, boy. 14 to 22 inches of snow. Oh, boy.
Where it's just everyone in L.A. who kind of realizes it's getting cold, so, you know... How do you prepare for it, and what do you like about it? I like the jacket,
too. I was going to bring the jacket up. I'm wearing my trusty Raiders jacket that I've had for well over a decade now, and it's kind of my go-to jacket when it's getting a little chilly, isn't it?
Nice.
That's for me, it's like, you know, $3 cheap gloves from CVS, Raiders jacket. It's an old trusty Raiders jacket.
You got a heater maybe in the house?
I have a heater. I have a nice wall. It's not central. Do they say central heat or just central air?
I think it's central heat.
It's
right?
not. Well, it's like a big like unit in the wall, but it's like with an actual fire that you can see through the grate. It's like right. It's pretty fierce.
Okay.
Are you a Raiders fan?
I'm a Raiders fan, yeah.
Because I was watching the like Sunday night game or whatever, the Raiders game yesterday, and it was like...
Oh, yeah. They won that game.
Miami,
27-24. Yeah.
Can I ask a question? What the fuck is up with Derek Carr's eyes?
I don't know. You mean because they're so smoldering and sexy?
Well, yeah. They kind of... They look like jeans. He's wearing mascara.
Oh,
wait,
look like he's wearing eyeliner.
He's got, like,
looks like he's got eyeliner.
A very light eye, like a pupil color.
I think that's just in contrast with the eyeliner, maybe.
It could be.
Or you could be right. But I'm not sure what's up with that, or if he actually is wearing eyeliner, or if he's like... You know what reminds me of? Do you guys ever see the movie Kingpin?
What the fuck are you talking about?
The Bolton
movie. Never actually
Farrelly Brothers.
It, yeah.
Really? God.
I know what you're talking about.
There was a time where every young man would have seen that movie. Should. Just speaks to my age, I guess. Oh, well, there's a guy in there, the kind of the villain, and he's got the same... He definitely has eyeliner on, but there's a real comical kind of evil bowling villain.
Yeah.
And he's got the same thing. But I'm not sure if Derek Carr's doing that on purpose or if that's just the way his eyes look.
It's something
have
weird.
You Googled
it distracts me every time.
We should Bing it.
We should,
does anyone have Bing?
I might
should
we ask Jeeves it?
Yeah.
But that's funny though, because I'm not sure if that's something he does. He's definitely not like some God-fearing Christian guy who's really into his wife. And
is he really?
Yeah, he's super Jesus-y.
Living in Oakland, huh?
But so I don't. But that, not to say he can't be Jesus-y and gothy, but I don't think he is.
He's Derek Carr, the Raiders rookie quarterback, joining us. You know, the number one question that I got as I'm watching the game, the number one question about you. What do you think that number one question was?
Oh, I can only imagine. I'm not sure.
Take a guess. Just take a wild guess. It's not necessarily football related.
I always get a question why I wear long sleeves. I don't know if that's it.
No, no, no. They. I was asked a couple of times last night watching the game, does he have eyeliner on?
Oh, I've been hearing that since I was little.
Wait.
Oh, man.
Do you want to confirm or deny that, Derek?
Yes. Dan, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to confirm or deny.
Oh, to deny. Okay.
I can assure you that I don't wear eyeliner. The Lord has just blessed me with some great eyelashes. So there's nothing I can do about it.
Shout out to Oakland. Mike, you should have worn the A's hat.
Shout out to
your
sister.
I really like regret not wearing the A's hat.
I know. We would have had A's and Raiders over here.
I know. Oakland. Really blew a missed opportunity.
Cool story about this jacket, though. I can't believe it took me this long to tell you because it usually comes up right away. My ex-mother-in-law found this for your listeners. It's like a kind of old school satin starter Raiders, but it's not a starter brand, but it's
basically imagine a starter jacket.
But it's pretty
resemblance,
sweet.
Yeah.
It's shiny. It's black. It's got all the right moves. But my ex-mother-in-law found this jacket at a Carl's Jr. parking lot in Fresno, which, as I like to say, is about as Raiders as it gets. A Carl's Jr. parking lot in Fresno. And she just knew I was a Raiders fan, and it fit me. It was perfect size.
That's awesome.
I felt like I've had it for like 12 years or something. It's
amazing.
It was me and this jacket were destined to be together.
Yeah.
And it's funny. Oftentimes, like, I'll go out to like a bar or something, and I'll be like, the idea, like, oh, I'm going to try to talk to girls. And then, like, I just end up talking to Mexican dudes about the Raiders all night because they're like, oh, cool jacket, man.
Yeah.
That's my impression of Mexican dudes at bars. Cool jacket, man.
So I got a quick
I know racial comedy's really in right now.
Quick update on Derek Carr. According to a poll on CougarBoard.com,
all right,
75% of the people who voted believe that he wears eyeliner.
Why
but apparently
he
doesn't.
Sometimes guys just have that look, I guess.
Yeah, there's a video explaining
it,
but it's like 24
well,
minutes.
Isn't that good for the podcast, but I'm curious about this. Also, in the eyes.
That's a weird picture of him in general.
He's like in a robe.
He's doing a weird.
He hasn't had a shaved head like that for a while, I don't think.
No, I think it's shaved.
Now it's more like, it's shaved, it's short, but I think it's more like, it looks like 11 on Stranger Things.
Okay.
It's kind of like that was shaved look.
You know what he looks like? Who's that one, like, kind of like a celebrity, kind of like, not gothy.
Jacob Siroff.
Exactly.
Right.
The magician.
Abs. We have the same abs. People tell me that all the time. Which kid?
Oh, yeah. Who's that, like, that magician, like, Chris something?
David
Blaine? Not David Blaine, but he was, like, another guy. Kind of had, like, a few, like, TV series for a bit. Kind of was, like, the
Chris Angel? Chris
Magic, Angel. Yeah. Kind of looks like him.
Kind of, yeah.
Chris Angel
just a little darkness.
Hair. right? It's kind of like long, sad hair.
I think. He's like a goth. Chris Angel's a goth. But
I mean, they're both famous goths. Chris Angel, Derek Carr, Marilyn Manson.
Yeah.
It's all the same umbrella of celebrity.
That guy from Kingpin.
Yeah. The guy from Kingpin.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What the fuck are you talking about? Shut the fuck up.
They should hang out, just the four of them.
Yeah. I'm just looking over there. We got a busy night going on at the bar.
Is that a birthday,
we get
maybe?
The shots. We got. Yeah. Maybe a birthday.
Yeah, busy night here.
Yeah.
We got to get some more beer over here, guys.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. We get the beer.
The beer.
Maybe I hit the quick save because I'm thinking it's all going to crash and burn. And
yeah,
I feel like I've had a rocky start to this podcast, so I need to just...
You think it's
refresh.
Been rocky? For who?
No,
you?
No, for me. For me. Everyone
I think
else
it's
has been doing
good
great.
For my dad and
yeah.
for Jake. And
yeah.
I think we got two Jacobs
maybe,
here.
Maybe I'll get a good...
Two Jacobs and five mics.
There it is.
We got a fifth mic because you thought I might bring a guest.
Yeah. No. Oh, that's fifth mic.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good night. Good Google. No, I was just second. I was just second. I'm coming back on. I'm coming back live. I was
oh,
just
back?
Second guess everything I said.
Oh, you went back. We're back live.
Yeah, we're back. We're back.
We're back.
And I'm feeling hot and ready to go. Hot and fresh.
We had a good powwow. That was good. We had a good creative.
I'm like going through mild alcohol withdrawal, so I kind of looking back and forth, like just someone's around.
Yeah, it's more just ready for the food and the booze and everything. But we're here. Shout out to Redline staff.
Shout out.
You
we're
guys
back.
Want to keep it going while we wait. I thought you were hitting pause so that we could get some food ordered, then we'd come back.
We can do that, but I usually just pause it and save it because we've had it like crash and burn. So
oh
I can't
right,
let
right,
it go
right, right,
time.
Right, right,
yeah.
right. Okay. Well,
but
usually just a quick thing.
We're back, season four. No segments.
Yeah, no segments. But
I think
anyways,
I got a segment that I'll hop into.
How's the listenership going these days?
I think it's technically slightly up.
Yeah.
Slightly
up.
You got a new guy? I have some questions, maybe tips. I wouldn't say tips. I'm good at pointing out problems, not fixing them.
Yeah.
But I'm very confused by the marketing of the show, because as you know, I'm a big fan of the show. I think I asked to come back on.
Yep.
I wasn't like most, like unlike a lot of return guests on podcasts. I wasn't asked back on. I invited myself back on because well, I've seen you guys around and I like free beer.
Yeah.
But I had a really good time doing the show and I had a really good time listening to it, which is even more rare for when I do a podcast. But I don't know what it's called Live with the Red Lion. It's called In the Points. I don't know if In the Points is a podcast network. I just feel like I'm very confused about the marketing. There's no – your faces aren't anywhere. It's just like a very generic kind of like corporate logo that's on a beautiful T-shirt that you're wearing right now.
Yep.
But I'm very confused by the whole branding of the show and what the show is and where to find the show.
I think we all know this and we talk about it, but
we
needed
it
someone
very
to just
recently,
say it to us. Yeah.
That we need like we need like a concrete name. And I think we might just like kind of drop the
just do live from the red line.
Yeah,
we have
live
from
the red line.
Line.com.
Because if I clicked on like in the point like through your Instagram or whatever, and it goes to like the SoundCloud, and I thought, oh, maybe there's other podcasts on there, but it's really not.
There are, but
like
barely
we dabbled,
any.
We dabbled. It was like kind of just
we don't
messing
do it
around.
Enough.
But it's your network, or there's another guy involved?
No, it's ours.
Is there a silent partner?
No.
Jake
was a silent partner for a while.
When I was in Chicago.
Yeah, I feel like
it's too confusing, and that's why we had a website too where we'd like post articles, and that's what we were doing for a while.
Right.
And
yeah.
Actually, I will say with like listenership or whatever, when we were doing the articles, I felt like more people would click on them,
stumble
and, like,
on, and come in.
Yeah, come in, but. Also just is a pain in the ass to write articles all the time.
But you know, maybe keep it separate, or like you know, if you had that umbrella that In the Points and you linked the podcast, but like for promoting the podcast, like the Twitter, you should have a Twitter with the name of the podcast.
All
right. Right.
And you know, the Twitter and the Instagram, there should be social media that has the name of this specific podcast that's promoting this podcast. Maybe has your guys' faces or some snazzy cartoonish logo someone draws of you guys or of, you know.
Well, we are hiring
like
a social media intern, so thanks
well,
for coming out to this interview.
I'm available.
but no, that, yeah, like.
Yeah, this has been
we
an
know,
honor.
But we need to just do it. This is a wake-up call to all of us here.
It's a call to arms.
Yeah.
No, yeah, and like having like faces behind it, or even like a, just like like a drawing like yourself, that just like so that people like, you catch it, you recognize it.
I mean, two of you guys are very attractive. I feel like that you should just put the faces out there, you know?
All right. Very divisive of you.
Yeah, we'll do
I think
a,
we all know which two.
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yes. Everybody knows which two.
Yeah.
I'm looking at all three of you right now.
Well, yeah, I mean.
I'm looking now. I'm trying to decide, too.
We could have our fans vote on.
Yeah,
it.
Have the fans.
Which two are attractive?
For the record, for anyone who is out there listening, and for Jacob, like we had inthepoints.com, which was basically just we post everything.
Okay.
And we kind of realized, like, yeah, without the articles, no one was going to it. So it's like the main thing we do is Live from Redline podcast. But every time we're here, they're like, what's your podcast called? People will say like, oh, what's your podcast called? It's like Live from Red Lion. But if you search that and it's under In the Points, yeah, which is under Jardiner Networks.
Yeah. And even and just telling people us, about it, I try to promote it for you guys. Like, oh, I did this show. It's called In the Points. It's called, even just on the way in, I was talking to one of the girls that works here. And I was like, I'm going to do the podcast. And she's like, what's that called? I was like, I don't know.
I know.
But I like it.
Ask us all, they ask us like every week. Yeah. We need a producer. We need someone here walking around like the Camel cigarette guy, if you've seen him in the Red Lion.
Dan, we need like up, that yeah. guy. Just like takes IDs, but then gives him just stickers of our yeah. podcast.
Yeah.
I get excited when I see the Camel cigarette guy.
Yeah.
Or girl, the Camel cigarette
or
person.
Or girl, yeah, person, sure. person.
I think I feel like we should pause and get drinks, guys.
Let's go get drinks.
You want a producer?
Get a quick
I'm going to make my first producing call.
All right, you're hired.
Pause for drinks.
All right.
We got winners. We got losers, chain smokers and boozers, and
we got sausages, we got burgers,
we've got
podcasting motherfuckers,
and the girls next door dress up like
leader hosen. I love this bar.
Yep, we're back.
And 3, 2, 1, Will, we're back.
We're back. Do I need to monitor this in the headphones, or we're probably good?
I think we're good.
We're back.
And we've hired a producer, and it's me.
We've got our new, we're back, season 4 with our new producer, Jacob Sieroff.
Just commandeered the drink order.
Yeah.
Picked the shot. He told you guys when to break.
He's really whipping this podcast into shape.
Yeah, got some social media. I've got some big ideas for our social media.
Yeah.
It's good. I like it. I feel like the energy. I feel like, you know, my like blood's rushing. I'm pumped.
Yeah. So this is what I was going to say, too, is I wanted to save it for the mic, is I feel like there's some podcast network out there that we could probably get on.
There's some podcast. Yeah. I think
Need it, though.
I know. Well, that's what I was thinking, is I enjoy the flexibility of kind of doing it when we want to.
Well, I sell the shit out of the podcast.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think that's the key, is because, like,
get guests that will that get. You gotta get Dale. Like, what would be perfect for you guys is somebody like me that was successful.
No,
someone that like loves the show and likes the idea and gets is behind the ideas, behind the product, that could actually like retweet and get you guys a bunch of, you know, followers or say, hey, I'm on this thing, listen to it. Because I really I don't think we got into it, but that's what, like, I was really a fan of the, I touched on it a little bit, but I do so many podcasts and I barely listen to any of the ones I do.
Yeah.
And if I do listen, it's usually to make sure I wasn't horrible or I'm worried about a specific thing I said that will be construed as sexist or racist or
that's
whatever.
That's usually why I'm panicking about my whatever I said.
Right. But so I listened, but you guys put a little preview up on Instagram before the show dropped.
Yeah.
And you had told me that you edited it and that you like did a lot of sound and editing and sound drops. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And then when you put the clip up, it had to do with Captain Panaka.
Uh-huh.
I remember the clip you played, and you were like playing the, you know, the Panaka clips. I don't know. Is that all three of you guys in on that? Is that mostly Will, or is that all?
No, we all make notes. Will usually does.
Who does the physical?
Who does a lot of the behind the scenes?
Who does the actual put? You know, hit, return, send.
Well, that's the problem. We all do it, but I really hate social media, and I feel like what we need is just.
No, no, no. I mean, who does the editing? Who's doing? All three of you guys.
Me and Jake, maybe for video anymore.
It's really great. And
not
I
to
heard,
cut out Mike.
When I heard that,
I've been not as much.
Well, when I heard it, I just thought like, wow, these guys, they weren't fucking around. And it's like that's what's missing from a lot of everyone has this kind of like, I'll do a podcast and it'll feel so meandering and pointless. And I'll go, are you going to edit that? And like, no, we usually don't. You know, they just throw out whatever you do, and it's like just warts and all.
Especially if you're already not well known, like nobody knows who you are, you got to do something.
But it's like it's a lot of work, and maybe some people would argue. I guess there's a case that if you want like this realism or this just a conversation in a raw form. But for me, I like bells and whistles, and it's just there's not a lot of people doing it. Maybe because it's effort, labor intensive.
I could do this shit with no effort.
But it is so. It makes for me. It was such an interesting listen, and especially to hear your. I don't know. It's like. You ever like when you see like I'm trying to think of the right analogy for this, but when people are doing like impressions of each other as kids, and you're kind of like, do me, do me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you guys
yeah.
do, and like, even though if someone's insulting you, it's kind of like, it's just fun to be like part of the action in that way. I don't, I'm probably not articulating this well, but it feels like something I'd always hear, and I'd be like, oh, I want to get that treatment. I want to hear, you know.
Like,
it's like a thing that, yeah. like, I want to hear one of my conversations all spliced up and jazzy and. I want to hear cotton poly blend. I like if there's
galaxy.
I want to hear cotton poly blend. I like if there's not even any
cotton poly blend.
I like blend. I want to hear which sounds gross, but like it just makes such a difference.
Anybody can talk, but not everybody can.
We are the most well-edited podcast in LA.
Yeah. I would argue that that's probably the case. Yeah. I got a real kick out of it, and I've told quite a few people about it. And we try to get people to listen to it and stuff. So
we appreciate it, and we feel like. Your episode coming on, you got a lot of people to listen to it just by.
You think I did?
I think you're the second most listened to. Just by like one listen. Yeah.
I did by one listen?
Something like that.
Colleen.
Yeah, Colleen.
damn that Colleen.
And sitting in between those two is our season one, episode 9. One of the favorite guests here on the podcast.
Honestly, we blew up after that episode, I just got to say.
Got hella traffic?
Yeah. Blew up.
This has a lot of clout. What up,
B? I'm never gonna stop competing with Colleen.
And it's the kind of thing where it's like for a while we were like spending a long time editing every episode and just going over it meticulously and thinking like, no one's listening to this, like how long are we gonna keep this up? But it's also kind of a thing where it's like
eventually if people start listening to it, then they'll
it's like we're only going to get better at doing it, so we might as well just keep doing it.
It's just fun. I feel like NPR should have a show like that.
Yeah.
Just like one. I know there's a lot of news. There's a lot of human interest. A lot of cool story. And it's like just one show, 1 hour of the day. Yeah. Just edit the fuck out of it.
I can't wait for this to be the podcast where we're talking about editing, but there's no edits. So just like, a long 3 hour meandering conversation.
It's empowering. Cause right now, like, okay, I'm going to be like this. I'm going to go, boy, yo, and I feel confident. You guys will do something there. There's gonna be a boy yo 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 yoing there, and then probably my voice will slow down and go boy yo, and you know you'll do all the things and the fancy stuff, make me sound like Darth Vader.
That's good.
That's a high demand, but
I have ideas. Look, am I gonna produce this thing or not, guys?
You're hired as a producer, no joke.
Let's shoot for the stars.
If you only knew the power of the killer pitch, killer 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 pitch.
Yeah. Well, I'll say last topic of about ourselves or just I feel like all of us have or we're like shy. Not that we're shy, but we don't promote it like as much as we could.
I'm the worst at that, so I relate to that.
Yeah, but
I'm shy, and because of shyness or being self-conscious, I feel like it's tacky to self-promote.
Yeah, but when we've had people who like appreciate the podcast stuff, they'll come be like if there will be like at the Red Lion, they're like, oh, they do podcasts at the Red Lion, like telling everyone about it, which is kind of what we just needed somehow.
You do. You need that one guest who's going to really, or, you know, someone that hears it once and just says, you know, these guys are onto something over there.
Yeah. But I think just consistency, just keep doing it, and we're, Yeah, season four.
I think you take pride in it too, you know, because I feel like some days it gets a little pretty draining to do all those drops and like we're like, are we gonna meet up? We just do it, but you have fun with it. You pack it in, and I mean, I feel like the best part of it too is just you meet people and you almost like you just can like share. At the end of the day, you got this like cool experience, you know.
I agree, and it's like it's like that classic question, like if a sound drops on a podcast and no one's listening to it, did it really go boy? It's a philosophical question, really.
That's good.
That is good.
I majored in philosophy in junior high school.
Well, yeah. Should we do these?
So we got a schnapps.
Let's talk. I'm not the expert.
Producer,
I'm the guy that's here
off here.
I'm the guy that knows how to read the list and the alcohol content.
This is green.
So what are we working with here?
I've never had this before, and to be honest, I've never even heard of it. But we talked about the opposite. Then I brought up the fact that the cherry is really high in alcohol content. I think is what's the standard? A standard liquor or standard hard alcohol is 80 proof typically in America anyway.
80 or 75 around there. Yeah,
70. I think 75 would be when it's 70 or 35 or in that range. Isn't that considered a cordial? Technically?
Or 70? Sorry, that's right. Not 75.
And again, so 40 is, you know, that's your Jameson, your Jack Daniels, your vodka, and
your
skull. I knew that this I thought that in my mind this cherry was higher, and I'm looking at the cherry, it's 42, and then I start seeing some 50s. There's a plum, the Bistro
Slivovitz. Shout out to Slivovitz if you're coming through Red Line. It's good stuff.
And then I just started thinking, well, fuck, if we're gonna do this, let's do the highest one. And there's something that just it's called the Escorial Grun, which I think. I think that was like the villain in the first Captain America movie, wasn't it? It means herbal. Well, it's herbal. It's what it says. It is. But there's a bunch of ones.
It's German for herbal.
Yeah, apparently Harlem means herbal too. There's a Harlem shot.
We should have got the Harlem shot. Yeah,
I didn't realize Germans were vegans.
You gotta shake it first.
Yeah.
Wait, I stepped on your vegan joke. What was it?
I didn't realize there were so many German vegans.
What was it?
Because they all mean herbal.
Oh, I see.
Okay, that's all right. I'll get one. If
that's
I just
when
get one.
That's when we edit out.
Yeah.
All right,
you're going to turn up the volume on that. Yeah.
Should we prost over the mixing board?
Prost over the mixing board. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I could smell this.
I
like,
don't even
want
to. I'm going to smell it, actually. I'm going to take a
sip. It doesn't smell bad.
Smells good.
56% alcohol.
L'chaim.
All right. Fucking let's do it.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It's actually pretty good. Pretty strong at the end.
I can feel that, yeah. Wow.
That little nostril flare.
What did we say that was? 56%.
That's like when it's like a hot sauce. That's like it didn't make me want to puke drinking that, like some alcohols might. But
I felt it on my tongue.
I feel it now in my throat. Yeah, it's sweet.
Sweeter than I thought it would be.
I was gonna say it's kind of like a hot sauce that like you eat it and it fills up your whole mouth and makes you like feel like you're gonna die, but it's worth it at the end.
I feel like we should get a T-shirt for doing that or something.
That's good.
Funny that you mentioned that.
Yeah. We were a T-shirt company. Now
we were thinking about making you a T-shirt for tonight, but
making a T-shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
We always talk about giving T-shirts to the guests too, but we've
you
never
should.
Done it. Yeah,
but we don't want to have too high of an overhead. Like where you spend, spending money on the guests.
Well,
you're already buying people food, and
exactly.
Ubers and stuff.
Right. Well, here's the thing though: is we happen to own a T-shirt press. So
yeah. This is like the.
It's kind of our shtick.
Yeah,
but which is you own one that you have in your home.
Yeah, and it's basically a glorified iron. But
I want a T-shirt press.
You can make a.
It's pretty
yeah.
cool.
Yeah,
like,
you can make shirts for like $2. I mean, like for like the cost of a shirt, which is like a dollar.
That's so you made this one you're wearing.
We didn't make these, but we've made a bunch.
Yeah, we outsourced.
This was
like made in China.
This
was
No,
and we only press on high quality Gildan.
Yeah,
made in Honduras.
You do Gildan?
Yeah.
I'm not
Nothing
a big Gildan
but the best.
Guy. I'm not a big Gildan guy. Not because I don't need high quality or fancy. I just it's funny. I've had this revelation about T-shirts, and it took me well into my 30s before I figured this out, which is really crazy now that I think about it. Because I would always think, oh, I don't like the way this one fits, or this one's too. And I just started feeling like I had this revelation. Read the ingredients.
Uh-huh.
I don't think they call them ingredients.
The cotton.
But I think it's fun and irreverent to refer to them that way.
Sure.
Because I realized that I hate all cotton T-shirts.
Oh, okay.
And
oh, really?
I think that's what most Gildan are. Yeah, because they're stiff.
Either like polyester.
They're kind of stiff and like, you know, like the sleeves kind of stick out.
Yeah.
Like, and I have skinny arms, so I like ones that either cling or fall. I don't like the toothpick sticking out of the thing.
I don't know. I kind of like the stiffness. No.
You like the stiffness? Well, it's a preference. Yeah. Well, there you go. Just like with food, the ingredients are important. But I know what I like is like a cotton poly blend. I like if there's not even any. It's like a poly rayon blend, or like, which sounds gross, but like when it just makes such a difference. I would always think, oh, I like the way this one fits. But I don't know why this one's as soft and hangy, and this one's all stiff and. Uh-huh. And
what,
just,
what about a nice leather tee?
A nice leather T-shirt?
Yeah,
sure, man.
Hit the clubs Cosby. On the east side. Yeah.
I have Hanes right now, actually, and it's like what you're describing. It's probably, I got to check the ingredients because I don't even know, but I notice it's a little like clings closer to the arms and like it's softer.
Yeah. That's, it's probably like, even if sometimes it's just like 60 cotton, 40
Gildan
polyester.
Is just the cheapest. So.
Yeah, but Gildan will make different.
Those
companies
we'll keep
will,
the Gildan,
make,
but,
will make different. Because you could do like Fruit of the Loom that has like, you know, it's not like it's a fancy thing or you got to get a Calvin Klein. Mm-hmm. Or Ralph Lauren shirt. It's just the poly, anything with like a little bit of polyester in it, I find.
There you go, man. This producer gig is really just changing our whole game.
Man.
I'm thinking a five-course meal kind of thing. You get five shirts, give them to the guests, let them choose their favorite. Try them all on.
Okay.
That's that's cool. You know, like,
drop some money.
So before you or just like before you have guests on, send them like a preliminary email, like a like, hey, if you had to choose from 100% cotton, 60-40 cotton, 60-20-30 with a rayon thrown in there, you know, like 60-20-30, that doesn't add up. That's 110%. You know, I like to give 110%. And I feel like that's what this podcast needs, you guys. Yep. I think you guys need to start giving 110% on all fronts.
I thought we were doing a podcast. I didn't know we were doing an intervention for our company. Yeah.
It's not so much an intervention. It's like a Tony Robbins motivational intervention. It's like a motivention.
It's what we needed.
It's a motivention.
Does Tony Robbins have a podcast? I bet
he
has a podcast.
He should have a podcast.
He probably gets paid money to talk.
He's chilling
with
Pitbull, isn't he?
Yeah, I was going to say, I've seen the billboards of Tony Robbins and Pitbull. If they had a podcast,
that would be great. I saw those around. I was like, what's going on now?
It's like pay $50 to learn how to become a millionaire.
And Pitbull's, is he like come out and do a song like at the Super Bowl or Saturday Night Live or something? Or is he involved in the motivational speaking?
I think he probably just leads the crowd in fist bumps and makes everyone feel good about themselves.
He doesn't do too much fist bumping.
Or
he does more like
hip thrusts.
Yeah,
he
does a lot of hip
thrusts.
Yeah. Still one of the greatest acts I've ever seen live.
Jake loves Pitbull.
You like Pitbull?
Yeah.
A hell of a performer.
I like him live.
I mean, say what you want about the music. The man is he's a showman.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
He's got
he has a very nice fitting tailored
suit. He's got a
suit.
Pelvis on par with Elvis. I'll say that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
On par with Elvis and the pelvis. You ain't nothing but a dolly. Wow, that's a bold statement.
Sure thing.
That's a bold statement. You're on record.
Yeah.
You saw him, right? Or
I saw him live. Yeah. I saw him and Nick Cannon in the same concert. Nick Cannon DJing.
Yeah. Wow. Did he have weird gloves?
He was wearing a dashiki.
He started wearing the cancer wrap head thing, remember? Nick Cannon started wearing like the thing my mom wore when she was dying of cancer, like the little the genie thing. What is it? You know what I'm talking about?
The little cap. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know
not the fez.
About.
It's like it looks like, you know, Faye Dunaway. Yeah. And fucking, what is it?
Dashiki?
No, not a dashiki. What's the cancer hat?
The cancer lady hat.
What's it called?
Well, yeah.
It's like, it looks kind of like
but
turban-y.
Is he wearing the cancer
Google
thing?
Cancer turban.
Is that an
oh,
African
like
garment?
The thing that Sway wore or whatever.
No, that's like a
cancer turban.
I'm doing just cancer turban.
I don't want to say band name, but that would be a good band name.
No, it's a good band name. Just like a punk band. But this is not actually what I meant.
Oh, okay.
But
it's like a band
up for cancer turban. So it's definitely
a bandana type thing.
It's like a one piece.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like.
Yeah.
Like to hide the
type of thing.
To hide the balding hair.
Yeah, to hide the balding hair, doctor. It's like, it usually looks kind of like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like a cancer turban. It's amazing how much comes up when you do cancer. Now let's do cancer turban, Nick Cannon. You guys keep the
it's a highly visual podcast.
Keep the audio portion going.
We'll keep the audio going.
I just want to say
this has been a great cast thus far.
Yeah, I will say. Oh, go ahead.
No. That was just
good
an open ended.
I was going to say.
It comes up.
Here we go.
Nick Cannon.
There it is.
Here's Nick Cannon, cancer turban. There's your search.
Wow.
Huh.
There it is. Very genie-esque.
We'll post this in the podcast notes.
Yeah. definitely like.
Or just Google yourself and Nick Cannon cancer.
Nick Cannon turban. Cancer turban. That's the hashtag for the episode.
But yeah, this is season four. No segments.
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee. This is.
Boy, yo.
Me once. Shame on. Shame on you. If boy, we can't get boy, boy, again.
I mean, we are a pro Bush podcast, so.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
That wasn't
and
a
now
joke.
Our
no,
I'm, not,
no yeah. I'm waiting. I'm just taking a drink.
It's not a bit. Yeah.
They don't have to be bits, guys.
Well, basically,
I think we're friends at this
basically,
point.
Basically, Bush came back, and as everyone knows, Bush came back, and no one hates him as a war criminal anymore.
I never
he's
hated
just
Bush.
A painter.
Never
really?
Hated Bush. No, I grew, and I was living in
San Francisco.
No, never hated either Bush.
Really?
I've never hated a president until this president. And
okay.
I actually feel like it's crazy to say it, and I'm mostly kidding. Not only is this the first time I've ever hated a president. We're talking about Donald Trump, in case
yeah.
this ends up in a time capsule and people are listening 300 years from now. I've never even disliked a president, really. Although I was scared of Reagan as a kid because my dad told me he was going to blow up the world. But looking back, Reagan was not that bad of a president, you know. I lived in San Francisco during Bush, both Bushes, but during, you know, I was a young adult during W's administration. And it was, you couldn't, I mean, Bush was, it's amazing the way people feel about Trump. It's hard to imagine that people felt that way about Bush. But Bush and Cheney were considered like, you know, Vader and the Emperor. Like it was just you could not even express that you were okay with never mind supporting Bush. If you said that you didn't hate Bush, you were ostracized in the Bay Area. I just felt like, you know, those guys were politicians. They had their, you know, there was a lot of self interest going on, I think, you know, but I never thought that they were in danger of, like, you know, blowing up the planet or really it didn't really affect my life on a day to day basis.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And also, I thought he's just so funny. He's by far the funniest president we've ever had.
He is by far the funniest president.
To this day, yeah. I can just sit there and, like, Google. You know, there's like a couple that I know act, like a couple specific montages on YouTube of just Bushisms.
I do the same thing every year. Once a year, I watch it and I'm just laughing my ass off.
It's just nonstop. Yeah. Like, I can't believe we didn't appreciate this comedy gold when it was happening. Everybody was acting like, oh, Bush is so evil. And it's like, we see now that what real evil looks like or what real, you know, danger looks like if not evil. And
just like now, watch this drive.
Yeah,
or like just there's so many.
Yeah. My favorite is when he's with the Pope, and he's like, "Thanks, Your Excellency. Awesome speech, Your Excellency." It's the best.
That's great.
Or I butchered it, but or the fool me once thing. It's just there's so many
trying
gems.
To get trying to escape from the Chinese. The door in China.
So many gems.
Or dancing is like dancing with like an African musician. Yeah,
that's great too.
Well, you know they say about comedy, hindsight is funny, funny. Am I right?
Oh,
all right. Is that one good enough? Do I need to step
it
up?
I thought it was perfect. Right. So, guys, we're gonna need a third host, I think, on the show.
Yeah,
you're gonna lose one of your most attractive hosts.
Yeah, if Jake wasn't so attractive, I don't know that he'd still be on the show.
Figured it out.
The other thing, which I might delete this, but just remember as a kid watching David Letterman, and he would do like great moments in presidential history where it'd be like JFK and whoever else, and then a stupid Bush thing. But just still the funniest Bush thing to this day is like Bush had a speech and he's just like, I went to a park, or he's like, me and Laura went to a park in Botswana. Which you got, we'll splice in the clip, but you just the way he pronounces Botswana
like
is great. Yeah. And also, Bush is like legitimately like a funny guy.
He's
like,
a funny dude.
I think like he probably like could like command the room of just like, he's like a goofy, funny guy.
I always had this impression he was just like, he never had anything to do with anything.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Like, he was like a cool, funny dude, and his friends were like, this is the, we're like, it's like, it was almost like some 80s comedy where like a bunch of evil dudes are like, you know what? You know, we're really these evil money grubbing like you know billionaires, and we want to control the government and like make shit go our way.
It's like Weekend at Bernie's, but
yeah, but like you know, let's get George in there, man. You know, George, like he's like the fun one in our group.
Yeah,
he doesn't know what's going on, but everybody likes him. He's attractive. He's rich.
Yeah,
let's get, you know, and somehow that actually happened. But like, I feel like he, you know, it was like you get the distinct impression he didn't know what was going on, but I've always felt confident that the people around him did.
Yeah,
you know, there was the Colin Powells and the you know the the Condoleezza Rices and the people that, you know, the Dick Cheneys of the world, you know, love him or hate him, he's a really bright guy. And, you know, these guys kind of had the con.
So that's kind of the difference between Trump and Bush is that Trump, because
the
would
lunatics
say,
are running the asylum now, as opposed to, like, you know.
It's the first time we've been back to Texas since our trip to Africa. And you may recall we went through a park in Botswana.
Hey, speaking of Jewish Judaism, I realized we were talking shot slivovitz. My dad was saying that I guess that was like the drink that all the Jews would drink back in the day and even at our synagogue. But I didn't know that. I guess I came up one night and he's like, yeah, slivovitz. And I was like, I love slivovitz.
That's interesting. I did not know that. Although I've never heard of that. I wouldn't. You mean the Jews in Germany?
No, I think just like old timey, more like maybe 30s, 50s Jews.
30s, 50s Jews? It was old timey, in the 30s, 50s. Guys, I just realized if we want food.
Yeah.
But you guys don't want food, or do you?
We're
going
to stop
serving food up here in 4 minutes.
We'll do a quick save.
We'll do a quick save.
Come back with segments. And we're back, and we're talking cigarettes.
We're back.
Back to In the Points at Red Lion.
In the Points at Red Lion, Chardonnay Networks, but now it's all just live from theredlion.com. Follow us on the social media at Live.
Check us out at
Live from the Points.
Check out Chardonnay Live.
In the Red Lion at the Points. Theater.
All our companies are merged together as Live from the Red Lion.
Yeah, we're just now Live from the Red Lion.
We're no longer a subsidiary of
In the Points is dead. And Live from the Red Lion will live on.
King is dead. All hail the king.
Yeah. We're back here with our guests. We haven't got too much into our guests this time, which I feel like...
That's fine.
You got into him on the first episode.
Yeah,
but I
mean,
will
go
say,
back and listen to season 3, episode 7.
Yeah, I mean, come
I will
on,
say
homework.
Just because he was giving us compliments, so I'm going to give him a few compliments because Jake was saying, you know, he's still doing stand-up, and I actually saw him do stand-up the other night over at the PAC Theater.
Shout out to the PAC.
Shout out to the PAC Theater. Well, it was good, but he's good. Well, edit out that you were giving me a look on that. But
that I was what?
You gave me a look on that. But
it wasn't that you were giving. Oh, that's an interesting show to have.
Well,
that wasn't like exactly.
That's an interesting place in general. That
I had fun
our
on that show,
but it's not.
It wasn't like, you know, a gangbuster set or anything. But
no, it was a good set though, because I was gonna say you've been, and then I saw you're on some other lineups with Kasim Bentley.
Yeah.
Who you did that show at the PAC with.
Right, my friend Kasim. We do like
it's Siroff Bentley. Is that a new thing, or have you been doing it for a while?
The last couple of years we've been doing it. We both obviously have individual acts that we're doing, but it's a friend of mine from the San Francisco scene, and he's moved down here now. And I've always done kind of this racially charged, you know, kind of insult crowd work type act, and he does the same thing.
Yeah.
And he's a black dude, so we kind of team up and do this thing together.
I was gonna say it was like a cool concept because he was like a black comedian, and then he was like did like a short little set at the pack, and then he was like, and I'm gonna call it my like white I forget what he called it. He was like my white assassin or something.
I don't know what he called, but sometimes we do it the other way where I start and then I bring him up, and we're trying to get into the thing where we go up at the same time. But we're kind of do the same thing from, you know, we're both kind of racial insult comics, which is not the hottest thing to be right now in today's comedic and political climate, but we decided to join forces, and we've had some really fun experiences doing that together. Yeah. And I feel like we're onto something. It hasn't quite clicked for us yet, but we're just getting on stage together and like in a longer set. Typically, if we do like 45 minutes to an hour, like in a headlining situation. There's a lot of time to kind of stretch our legs and explore and get the crowd on our side. You saw, I think, like a 10-minute set.
Yeah.
And it's in a room full of, like, you know, white hipsters.
Exactly. Well, that goes back to my compliment, because I was going to say, like, a place like the PAC Theater or, like, UCB or these, like, alt comedy places are usually just all white hipsters who, like, will cringe at any sort of racial humor. Not always, but...
Well, they'll tell you they liked it afterwards. Yeah. But they feel too weird to laugh at it out loud or...
But it was almost like...
In front of each other.
Exactly what, like, that crowd needs to hear of, like... It was during another World Series game, and it was like, oh, you got... What are you saying?
I was just shocked at your... That's what that crowd needs to hear, like...
No,
he's right.
Yeah.
I think a German bar is a forum for this,
too. No, it... Just, like... Calling out the audience for like something they're not—they know that they are, but they're not thinking about it
because they weren't—they weren't watching the World Series.
Yeah,
like for me, if like I'm doing a show during a major sporting event, Like, I have to be there.
Yeah.
But, like, I lose respect for the whole crowd because you didn't have to be here. Yeah. Like, thank you for supporting me, but what kind of a fucking pussy are you? You know? Go home and watch the World Series.
So you're just, like, calling out all the fans and that.
Kind of. Just, like, why don't you like sports? You know, I already don't, like, if, you know, if like, I've had to do sets with, like, major boxing pay-per-views that I or, like, for me, it's, like, if I didn't have to be here, you know, of course you take the work, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, if I didn't have to be here, that's, like, you guys chose to be here.
Yeah.
And like, it's this weird kind of conundrum of, like, you know, I thank you for your support, but the fuck out of here. Just you know, yeah, Mayweather's fighting. Go watch
yeah.
that shit.
Yeah. That's the end of my compliment.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I don't have any compliment. You're looking at it. I don't have any compliments.
Yeah, it's a rough time to be the kind of comedian that I am. I mean, it's something I'm adjusting to. It's not not like I'm feeling sorry for myself, but I've always done a lot of racial stuff, and I've always done a lot of, you know, some of it ironic, some of it just because I think it's funny, and some, you know, I'm not gonna sit here and say it's all like some you know statement I'm making.
Yeah.
By you know, but it's I know what I grew up on and what I think is funny, and it's not. And I understand why it's like, you know, like the liberal Jew doing like racially charged stuff. There's an irony that's lost once the president of the United States is an actual racist.
That's the weird thing about it. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, on a good night, they get it.
Yeah.
I'm navigating my way through
back
it.
Back when Bush was president.
Yeah. Well,
you could.
Yeah.
You could run
the
that
Bush
gamut.
Days. The good old days.
But the thing is, like, you think most smart people should get it.
It's true, but when I work on the road sometimes, and this is pre-Trump even, you know, I'll have people come up to me after shows and they'll say, hey, "We loved you. We're racist too," and we're racist as well, you know. And I think like,
they didn't
not
get
the
it.
Point.
They can
but
misinterpret it.
That's
yeah.
not the point. Now let's take this picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want smile or no smile?
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I feel like it's the thing where it's like if you can go up and do it in front of like an actual diverse crowd and
oh, for sure.
Thing,
oh,
like,
it's you know, it's
you
funny.
Have no fear of front of
funny
like,
you say that
because
I grew
yeah.
up performing. I mean, I came up in comedy in San Francisco in the Bay Area, kind of pre-tech boom too, where like everything, where there was very multicultural. The clubs I started in, and it was not. You know, a lot of Asian and black and Latin and white and everybody in the same room.
Thanks.
And that was really, that was really an ideal situation for doing the kind of stuff that I do. And just the other day, you guys got to eat some of this food. Just the other day, I had a show somewhere where it was a real kind of mixed urban-y crowd. And it went over so well. And I just forget, like, God, I'm like, I got to stop performing for white people, you know?
Yeah.
Went over so well, I forgot what that felt like to like have kind of like a little bit of everything and like do jokes about like Mexicans and black people, whatever, and then have actual Mexicans and black people like give me pounds and I get off stage going, dude, that's hilarious. And go, oh, right. It's only, and this is true to this day. And I've been doing comedy almost 15 years now. And I've always been doing like, you know, offensive stuff and I've always had kind of racial stuff in my act. I've never had a person of color come up to me after a show and tell me they were offended. It's only been white people on Twitter.
Yeah.
Or, you know, every now and then in person, but it's the only people that get offended are you know, these, it's kind of like this white guilt.
Yeah,
people
exactly.
That didn't, yeah, anyway. I'm gonna say something I don't want to say if I keep going, so.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm good on the food.
For
what do you got there? Yeah.
I just got a bunch of food and nobody else had any food. I thought we were all going to have a meal together. I thought we were going to break bread.
What are you eating there?
This is like the Nuremberg bratwurst.
Looks pretty good. He's got three sausages.
Mike left.
Mike went to the... Mike realized he was the unattractive one, and he's storming out in rage.
Mashed potatoes and gravy and sauerkraut.
Yeah, man.
And
it's good stuff.
I feel like just my last thing on the whole like racial humor and PC culture or whatever, it's like, I feel like it's that line that like everyone knows it's like in the national conversation if that's a word or if that's a thing. Yeah.
I agree.
But it's also like no one wants to talk about it. One, because it's a fine line and you don't want to come off as a racist or like alt-right or as like extreme liberal or whatever.
True.
And two, it's just because like everyone's talking about it. So it's like, what's the point? And everyone will recognize your true intentions.
I feel like making people uncomfortable is funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and, I mean, people don't want to have to think about things like that. It's like easier to just...
Saying things that other people maybe thought but didn't want to say.
Right.
And it's not, you know, being... And this maybe sounds like rationalization or justification, but I feel like there's a difference between racist and racial.
Oh, absolutely.
You can do racial jokes and not be like racist. It's like, you know, if there's hate behind it. If, you know,
yeah.
I know for me, like, I sleep fine at night.
Yeah.
I know who my friends, you know, I know how I feel.
Yeah.
About, and I'm a pretty open-minded.
Exactly.
You know, I consider myself a humanist.
Well, that's the thing, is I feel like most people recognize that, but just like the general attitude of the public is more like,
yeah,
cringy at whenever it gets into any sort of like buzzword that they don't like, or like,
dude, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was a kid, when I was in my, you know, in my 20s, there was no such thing as, nobody talked about cultural appropriation or anything like that. And I don't want to discount it or write it off. It's like something that's not, you know, because, you know, I don't want to be that old guy that's like, in my day, we were just racist and that was okay.
Yeah.
Just, it's a world that I'm not used to. It's, you know, not one I grew up in. So, you know, I grew up on Eddie Murphy and Andrew Dice Clay and thinking that, you know, never questioned whether those guys were actually hateful people.
Yeah.
I thought this is funny because it's, you know, it's the reason, like, the roast battle and all stuff like that.
Exactly. I was going to say, like,
mean
comedy
is funny.
Mean
is funny.
Yeah.
And then you shake hands afterwards. And
exactly. Yeah. I was going to say, too, I feel like maybe it was just, like, the time period or, like, growing up, like, everyone would give each other shit for, like, whatever race they are, even, like, white people making fun of white people.
Totally. No, that's...
But then it's, like...
I grew up in public schools and, you know, the inner city, and that's all we did.
Yeah.
Just make race jokes.
But then it's, like...
Or short jokes, if you're short.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Anything. You know, if your shoes suck, you're getting shoe jokes. Just, like, it's, you know, go for the jugular. It's funny.
But then from someone who's now getting older, and then people, like, talking about just, like, or, like, I don't know, like, white supremacy or whatever is a real thing. So it's, like, then it's like, oh, was I, like, an asshole when I was, like, making fun of my, like, Mexican friend or whatever?
Because it's your friend.
Yeah, that's true.
And you love them.
And they say it back.
And you guys share food together
and
stuff at each other's houses. And, like, you know, I'm assuming you did that. I did that with my Mexican friend.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, and as when you're a kid, you're not even really think about
it.
You just make jokes because it's like differences, obvious differences.
Yeah, it's just funny to make fun of people. Whatever you're gonna find an in for a joke.
Yeah,
you got a shitty haircut, you're gonna do a haircut joke. Somebody's like, I was skinny as a kid. I got a lot of Holocaust jokes.
Yeah,
but I don't. They were good spirited Holocaust jokes.
And now here you are at the Red Line eating a German sausage. Yeah. Full circle.
Doing shots of Jew blood. Yeah, it's true. So what do you guys want to talk about? Star Wars?
You're really,
let's move on.
You're really
slathering
that.
You gotta slather it.
That dog.
You gotta put the mustard on it.
Yeah.
On the meat directly.
Is that what you got called? The mustard?
Person, yeah.
The mustard. That's sauerkraut. I put the mustard on directly.
You know, that's actually, I don't know if that's how you're supposed to do it, but I've gotten the sausage and Jacob is directly applying the sauerkraut to the sausage along with the mustard.
Yeah, that's how I think you do it.
Because I've always like just eaten this. No, I think
sauerkraut
that's
a side dish. That's a way to do it.
But then it's just like too much sauerkraut.
I like sauerkraut though.
Yeah,
probiotics too.
When I do the when I do the schnitzel here, I do the good old, you know, just like slop it all together, put the mashed potatoes on, put the sauerkraut on, and you got to get the headphones for this segment, Will. Good. You know, you just put it all together, you eat it.
Make sure this makes it in. We'll start off the podcast with this. Go ahead, Mike.
You mix the mashed potatoes in?
I do, but maybe that's like maybe an American thing of me, you know, growing up and you always have them on your plate.
Or do you mix it in because you don't like the taste of sauerkraut and you're trying
No, I mix it because I like just that fatty, buttery taste, gravy taste. But I love that pickled sauerkraut on its own. Could eat it straight up or schnitzel. I'm a guy who likes it all mixed together.
That's perfect. By the way, the mic
like
placement.
This.
Yeah,
I can't
hold
move
it right
at
there,
all.
That's perfect quality.
You know, we're talking food, and I know I don't want to get. I mean, we can go down the segments, but one segment I want to get into is
You guys are off the segments now, huh?
Yeah, season 4, no segments.
Season 4, no segments, but we got some segments we want to try out.
I probably asked this last time. How do you delineate like the seasons? What's the
just when we're ready?
Time period, like progression. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, when did you decide? You know what? The season 3 is a wrap.
Well, it kind of started when I moved out because I was gonna join, and so we started season 2. And then it was like, well, we've already got 2 seasons, so might as well just continue doing seasons.
And there was kind of like we kind of started slowing down at the end of season 3, and so we were like, fuck it, we're going season four, and now we're picking it up. We're back.
You guys are all about the edit.
Yeah.
That's why I come.
Yep.
I come for the edits. Stay for the sauces.
Yeah.
So far, you've been listening. It's just been a lot of...
What's your shirt, dude?
What's that?
What's your shirt, since we're editing this out?
Oh, it's actually a shirt that I bought the first time I came to California.
What does it mean, Neff?
Neff? It's apparently a snowboarding company.
Huh.
Yeah,
I've heard of them.
I bought it when I was in eighth grade and I came out to L.A. for the first
time.
Eighth grade? Yeah.
You're the same size?
Also when I, yeah, I think it was just big then, actually. I was like, oh, I got to buy a shirt in California, you know, so people know that I've been to California.
You're like a flamingo?
It's a flamingo, yeah.
No, we
with palm
that's
trees.
So funny because so we don't have flamingos here, but
yeah,
it's so much for Florida. But
like I said, it's
cool shirt.
Yeah.
What are we doing, guys?
So
I'm not
we're
complaining.
Yeah. So season four is no segments, but I got a segment for you. It's called Cosine. It's called Cosine.
Okay.
This is new to me too, so I'm excited.
So yeah. I've been thinking of buying a condo in Silver Lake. Will you cosign with me?
I think that will hurt you more than help you if you put my name on the application, but I'm happy to do it.
All right, and that was Cosine.
I like it. Are you really thinking of buying a condo out here?
No.
No. Damn, baller.
Yeah, no, I don't have that much.
You're going to end up living in my place.
All right, so we do the streets here as another segment, top five streets of L.A.
I did that.
We got them last time, so we're switching it up this time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to use my own, but we're doing street sweeping. What are your least five favorite streets of LA? Least favorite streets,
okay.
Fives.
Okay, that's better.
Least five,
least streets of the number five.
Least favorite, top five least favorite of LA.
Okay. Well, I'll start with, I mean, this is such a party pooper answer, but Hollywood Boulevard.
Okay.
It's annoying.
Yeah.
It's
like I know.
No, I mean, a party pooper, like, answer is probably going to be a good
one. I feel like the
one.
Least favorite is going to be pretty common among everyone.
Yeah, I mean, Hollywood Boulevard.
Are you talking about specifically, like, the main drag? Or do you mean all of Hollywood Boulevard?
I mean, the main drag, but all of it, pretty much. Okay. There's no real cool parts of it.
Right.
I don't think.
Yeah, I don't even know where it goes beyond.
I think it hits right.
It hits, like,
Thai
Town and, like...
Like, Hillhurst.
I know that. Yeah, I don't know where it goes beyond Hollywood.
Yeah. Just kind of disappears.
It's an app name, Hollywood Boulevard.
I don't think of streets I don't like in Los Angeles.
I do like Hollywood by Hillhurst, so that intersection, Sunset.
Yeah.
It's quicker than turning left on Sunset when I'm trying to get to Quiznos and Chase Bank.
I don't like Los Feliz Boulevard either.
All right.
Really hard to turn on.
Say Los Feliz?
Yeah, Los Feliz. Okay. I don't like the... You know, when it gets really, like, rush hour?
Yeah.
Oh, because...
Like, between...
Especially if you're using a GPS, it's always going to bring you to a left turn there.
Yeah, that horrible left turn.
Yeah.
Well, once you turn left on, like, Rowena onto...
Yeah.
But you really got to take Avocado to Commonwealth.
Oh, yeah. I always forget about Avocado.
You know, there's that little trick. But Los Feliz, it feels like it's unnecessarily crowded, and there's other streets you can take instead of it. So, I mean, it's all going to be traffic or parking-based, my answer.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Sunset Boulevard because I hate the parking on the Strip. What's the main drag in Koreatown?
Wilshire.
Yeah, but I don't hate Wilshire. I like Wilshire. But
6th Street, maybe.
6th, 8th.
Yeah.
Pick one of those streets because of the parking. I'm just trying to pick bad parking areas.
Yeah.
There's a street that I won't name, or can you promise you beep it out?
Sure.
Don't even name it. It doesn't matter.
Well, there's a street pretty close to here that the last row who broke my heart lives on. So I'm going to say that's definitely one of my least favorite streets. I can't even drive by it. And then another street that's the cross street of that street.
Okay. All right. There you go.
Did I do five?
That's street sweeping. That
crossroads of a broken heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. You're good at that stuff.
Yeah. I'm a good segment namer.
No, but I mean the broken heart thing.
Oh, yeah.
That was
Hey, any past Live from Redline guests out there listening, think of your least favorite streets, because when we have you back on, that's what you're going to be faced with. That was fast, though. That was impressive.
Should we just keep pitching segments, or I know you guys had some.
I feel like if you got them, go for it. I kind of have been like...
All right. I guess we'll just keep rolling with segment pitches.
Season 4.
This one is called Around the Horn.
Okay. Baseball.
So I'm going to ask...
Baseball and Jews. That's what I think of when I think horns, and I like both those things.
Yeah. So you've seen the show on ESPN, I'm guessing.
Around the horse.
So it's like that, except instead
That's the one Kellerman used to host, right? That's the one with the point where they just give random points, kind of.
Yeah.
Stat Boy hosts it now. Right. He has a new name, I think. His real name.
Yeah, I don't
What's his name? Anybody? Stat Boy?
I don't watch it anymore.
Yeah, but he used to be Stat Boy. Now he's the host.
So I'm going to ask you something about sports. And then the thing is, I'm going to have this air horn app on my phone. And anytime it goes off, we have to talk around the horn. So nobody talks while the horn is going off.
I'm okay with it. I just hope we'll see how it goes.
These are all pitches.
I might need to listen to this one.
Okay. Okay. So.
Oh, that sounds good in here.
And we're all talking, right?
Yeah, this is anyone can just chime in anytime the horn goes off. It's almost like musical chairs.
Okay. And
when
I will
the horn
say
goes off, what happens? We switch topics or
we just stop talking.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is good.
And I will say for the even before the first horn sounds, for the future we should get the head
sorry, what were you saying?
We should get the the headphone splitter cuz it sounds a lot better.
Yeah, we'll get the headphone splitter for the next okay. Right, so ahead. The question is Well, I don't. I guess I didn't even really prepare a question. But how about based on how the postseason in baseball went, who do you think looks good for next year? Like if they kept the exact same teams.
Well, I think the Houston Astros look pretty good next year.
And if you're gonna do the set light, put it like right up to there, because then there you go. Now it's on mic.
I think the Houston Astros look good. They're the champions, and they won before.
Oh.
And so
this is a really bad segment. I'm just going to stop this. I'm going to call this right now.
I think we need to hear the horn. Maybe next time bring an actual horn.
If we all had headphones, this would be a great segment.
Yeah. I'll work on that. I'll bring it for the next episode.
If everybody could keep the same lineup, so I mean, it'd be the same World Series.
That was a really bad question. The Yankees are actually
looking really good. I hate to say it. The Yankees are looking like they could be good going forward. I hate the Yankees so much, but.
Yeah. That chat.
You're a Mets guy, right?
I'm a Mets fan.
Remember that.
Not looking great. Although we got a new manager.
All right.
They're going to kick us out of here soon, too.
Yeah. I think it closes at 11.
What we have learned from season 4 so far is with those 4 quick segments off for the others, we don't need segments.
Yeah, season 4, no segments. So what do you think? We're coming to the home stretch. What do you want to talk about? It's your podcast now. We'll give you the... You're taking over.
I have no agenda. I ate the food. I got the drinks.
Yeah.
I'm taking an Uber Black to the show, to Culver City. I don't know what I'm going to do out there.
Just going to wait outside Jash until the next.
Right? I'm going to go to Jash.
Yeah.
And hopefully get a show. I'll just sit out there smoking Newports.
Yeah.
My favorite thing to do on a podcast is just like, be led, actually.
Yeah.
Not as far as produce. Like, obviously, I'm going to produce the podcast.
Yeah. But I was more just putting you on the spot as a producer.
Yeah, but like as far as like guesting, I like when people just like, here's the answer to this question. Feel this.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I just show up and like with my charm and my Raiders jacket.
Yeah.
But we can talk baseball.
I feel like baseball is having a good moment right now.
We had two very sentimental World Series in a row.
Two very sentimental, very, like, went to Game 7. Good stories for
it's always
the
good
TV.
In LA. If Los Angeles or New York are involved, it's always good for ratings.
Well, it was New York, Chicago, Houston, and LA.
Yeah, that was wild.
The biggest cities in the country.
Yeah, right. It's true.
Almost to the point where it's probably rigged, like all sports.
Baseball's too hard to rig.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't rig the slider.
That's true.
Although they tried in the World Series, I guess.
Yeah, that was weird. I heard about that. The ball was like...
Really the ball was like, slippery, right? And like everyone
and
was
really
talking about...
They affected the slider more than any other pitch.
Yeah.
Which they said, you know, is Yu Darvish's go-to pitch. So.
I don't know. I guess they were just wanting people to hit home runs, is what they said.
Yeah, probably. Dodgers, well...
And there were a lot of home runs.
There were a lot of home runs.
Yeah.
And the Dodgers should be good for a while, though, for... I'm not a Dodger fan, but for all the Dodger fans, I don't hate the Dodgers either. But
I'm not a Dodger fan, but they put on a good show, and
good show.
I can respect them. But I don't. I'm not like huge on them.
The thing is, whenever I don't have an emotional interest in a big sporting event, World Series, Super Bowl, whatever, I try to think which city would I like to see have the parade. You know, which group of people would I like to see happy, and which people would I like to see miserable.
Houston was like the worst case scenario in my mind.
No, really, because of the hurricane. And
everything. Yeah, well, that's what I was saying. Yeah. They had a good story.
I know
story.
You're a big Hurricane Harvey fan.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I thought it was kind of I thought it was kind of shitty for the people that live there.
No, so, it was.
So I thought that was kind of cool. Mm. Like that idea that like people. I don't know, that somehow that could maybe affect their chances of winning or give them some motivation to win more because the city needed a boost. But, like, yeah, again, you know, I live 2 miles from Dodger Stadium, so if there's a parade in L.A., that's, you know, and I have there's happy people all around me. Mm-hmm. I don't hate the Dodgers, so I'm fine with that. And, you know, Houston had that thing going on. But part of me was kind
or
of
at least Bush is happy.
Bush is a Rangers guy.
Yeah, yeah. Edit me out.
I'm such kind of a naysayer, kind of negative, you know, kind of a contrarian generally. So the idea that like everybody was into the Dodgers, part of me takes satisfaction going, haha, you guys lost, you know, to all these people. But I have nothing against them. I think the fact that they had the highest payroll in baseball, and Houston had, I believe, the 15th highest payroll in baseball.
Oh, really?
That always made, you know, I told that to someone else. Well, said, yeah, but you should see how that money's tied up. They're
cost
still
of
paying,
living or whatever.
They're still paying people, you know, from the contracts that they got out of that aren't even on the team, and kind of the Bobby Bonilla type of thing. But still, you know, that's money they have to spend that the Astros don't. And the fact that the Astros lost 100 games 3 years in a row, and the Sports Illustrated cover from 2014.
What was it? They predicted it.
They said you're 2017 World Series champions or something like that.
Oh,
with the Astros on the cover, just because they were rebuilding at the time. I mean, I don't know how literal that whoever wrote that. I haven't researched it, but whoever wrote that article
came
up with the time. I don't know if they're actually predicting. No, it's true. I don't know if they were actually predicting a championship in 2017 or just saying
like they will be good.
This is around when they'll be good again. But
I still consider the Astros as part of the NL.
I know that's really a weird thing. For
so
me
it was
too.
Tripping
Did they
me out.
Flip?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. When?
That's what I was saying.
When
I don't even know.
That was a little while ago.
You know,
I think.
It was a few years ago. At least.
Played the Dodgers in the World Series this year.
Yeah, yeah. No, I didn't know they were
NL Central team.
Yeah.
Before
that, was like
NL
Jeff,
West team.
It was.
I only remember Jeff Bagwell.
Really, you
don't
remember
his stance.
His fucking stance.
Yeah.
The Mets played. My Mets played the Astros in the '86 pennant when they were still in the NL West.
Okay.
And then Mike Scott. And
the Mets were in the NL West?
No, the Astros were.
Oh, okay.
The Mets played them in the 86 pennant on their way to the World Series. It was a really good, really crazy series, too. And then when they introduced the three divisions and the wild card and all that, the Astros went to the Central, and then they flipped to the AL West. I think, when was that? I want to say like 2010 or something like that. No, maybe more recently than that.
I think it was more recently.
2012, maybe.
Something like that. The other thing that... is tripping me out this year, and I know it's not just this year. It's like recent trend of baseball, and it's not just the Dodgers, but like the Dodgers are like the experts at the shift. Oh, like the defensive shift, where they'll just like be standing
for
exactly
like
where the players hit
like,
it. What?
For like Big Papi Ortiz.
Like. No, just like anyone, like when they're playing the Cubs, for instance, like Anthony Rizzo would always hit it to fucking right field, like should be a base
right
hit.
Right into the shift.
But yeah, no, seriously, I don't know.
Well, that's the whole point. I mean, that's
just
smart.
How do they do that? Like the stats are insane these days.
I heard that they have
a full team.
No,
or
there's like a genie with a head and he's got a cancer.
he's wearing
he's got
a cancer
turban.
Yeah,
it's like Pee Wee's Playhouse. He's in a box.
Yeah,
and he's like Mecca Lekka High, Mecca shift to the right.
Yeah,
shift to right field.
Is that Nick Cannon saying that?
Yeah, that's Nick Cannon saying that.
Cannon is the GM of the Astros. Okay.
Did you guys get the Pee Wee's reference? Or you guys are too young.
Yeah.
Have you seen Pee Wee's Playhouse?
I've heard that phrase before, but I didn't know what I knew
from
it
Pee Wee's Playhouse. It's the genie.
Oh, okay.
What was his name? Shiny? Some shit like that?
Couldn't tell you.
I should know.
Can't
I feel ashamed that I don't know.
Yeah.
I was really, really into that as a kid. It was a Saturday morning show. In the Saturday morning cartoon block, but they played Pee Wee's Playhouse on CBS. And I was like, do you remember he said like a secret word that you had to yell when you heard? You guys don't know the show?
Well, I remember watching I was just on the age of could tell what was going on and just being like a kid.
I thought that maybe you guys would have got, because for what, they actually, like, I want to say around 07, 06, they played it on Adult Swim. Like, there was like, Pee Wee's, you know, it's kind of had like some longevity as like a adult trippy show, which it should, it's great. But, Part of the Pee Wee's Playhouse was, you know, one of the one of the recurring things was that they'd have a I'm sorry, God, fucking, I think that shot really affected me, I guess, because I can't speak. But there would be a word that was revealed. It was a secret word of each episode. And when they said it, you know, at home you're supposed to scream. Everyone on the show would start screaming real loud when the word got said, and then at home you're supposed to scream as well. And my brother and I took part in this, but we were probably like 11 or 12, or like a little too old to be doing it.
Yeah.
So right on the verge of, like, you know, when the kids are like too old to trick or treat, but they're still trick or treating without a costume and yelling at Pee-wee's Playhouse. I don't know. Cut about the last 40 minutes.
Pre or post pasta sauce?
Oh, this is pre-pasta sauce.
Pre-pasta sauce. All right.
Living with our mother, who was very generous with her pasta sauce.
Yeah.
Should we go into the Kit Kat quick chat?
Yeah. Maybe I'll get the quick save real quick. And then we'll power out the end of the episode.
And then we should pitcher pound.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Good googly moogly.
Hey, we're back.
And we're back.
The computer died.
Crash and burn.
We might have lost a Kit Kat quick chat, but
it wasn't that good. It was an objective.
It was a good Kit Kat.
I had fun doing it.
I enjoyed the Kit Kat.
You could play at home. It was name the top 5% alcohol drinks.
Yeah, we'll post that maybe on Twitter. And challenge your friends.
Break you off in your Kit Kat. And you missed the Tit Tat quick chat as well. Quick Tit Tat.
The Tit Tat.
The Tit Tat. Tit for Tat. Yeah, tit-tat, quick chat.
I don't have any tit-tats.
It didn't, so I don't know why
you
I brought
guys,
it up.
None of you have any tattoos, huh?
No.
So definitely not on your tits.
No.
Not even on your tits.
No.
Okay.
If I had a tattoo, it'd be on my tit.
Yeah, it's the one place you get it. So.
You have to now. You guys should all get matching tit-tats.
Yeah. This is the wish tat, the wish tat quick chat. Where would you get it? What tattoo would you get on your tit?
All right, you're fishing here.
Well, the problem is, if we all got, we all have in the points and live from the Red Lion and Jardinera, and it's tough because we only need one of them.
I'll tell you what, you get in, you get the, and I'll get points on.
I'd get a tic tac, tit tat. I'd put just a thing of tic tacs on my tit.
Tic tac, tic tac.
And have a lot of quick chats about it.
Just say tic tac.
Yeah, before it, we had some computer issues. We were going in shit's fired, so.
Yeah.
You got anything to shit on?
This is Shits Fired, brought to you by Squatty Potty.
Well, my landlord raised the rent recently. He raises it every year, like, just because he can.
Yeah.
But nothing improves.
Yep.
Nothing gets better. In fact, I have a nightmare neighbor that he also rents to that he should have really evicted by now. And that makes my life miserable in a lot of ways. So, yeah. I mean, I like the guy. I don't want to shit on him for real because I like the guy. But it's like, come on, bro.
Yeah.
You know? It's like a classic come on bro situation.
Shit, I'd like to shit on my landlord as well for the interest of time.
Landlord also raised my rent this month, so I'll shit on the landlords as well.
Yeah, I used to, when I moved to my place, everyone would say, oh, you only pay X amount? And it's been like through consistently raising it like for 4 years, everyone's like, oh, you pay that much for this place? Like, it's got to the point where it's completely flipped how people see my deal.
Yeah. I'll go with the two for the theme. Will and I had to figure out what we pay for rent this month, whatever, because we keep forgetting because there's always like new water bills thrown on and we're not sure. And because when we realize what it is, then we're like, holy shit, we're paying that much now.
She's a swindler.
For like 2 years.
I guess that was Shits Fired, I guess. Should we get into plugs?
Shit on Disney. Let's shit on Disney for not letting for the LA Times thing.
Oh, yeah. That's
fuck that.
What was that?
What was it?
I didn't even hear about it.
I don't quite know, but it's like Disney isn't letting LA Times cover them because
they didn't give them a review of Thor because of they put out an article they wrote that they didn't like that wasn't favorable.
That's shitty.
To Disney. And then, but now other journalists are starting to say they won't. A woman for the Washington Post, I believe, said the film critic there said, I'm not going to review The Force Awakens, like, I'm sorry, The Last Jedi, in solidarity with LA Times until Disney lifts the media bans on certain outlets that. And I think that's catching on. That's so fucking classic Disney. And people wonder why I'm upset that Disney owns my favorite shit in the world.
Yeah.
You know, that everyone, Star Wars. You know,
right.
People
your favorite show.
My favorite shit.
I was thinking of TV. Yeah.
It's my shit. It's my favorite shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, not show anymore.
And I just saw they're in talks to buy another company. I can't.
20th Century Fox. Yeah. Right.
That's
fucking crazy.
Yeah.
That would be cool, but that would be cool for the reason that everybody's talking about. Is it
what?
Well, that X-Men and Avengers could hang out again. again for the first time in the cinematic universe.
But really, that's too many characters in the same movie.
But it shouldn't. We shouldn't have two different Marvel.
That's true too,
well,
yes.
Those fucking those Marvel movies are coming out. The 2-part movie where it's like 60 plus Marvel characters.
Infinity War. So.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That totally. And Marvel. I mean, the Disney Marvel. They have like an amazing business model and have made some very good films. I feel like, but it's just weird that like. If they finally made the deal with Spider-Man's on loan for the Homecoming, or that what happened? Like they lent
for
Sony.
The Civil
War, well, that's Sony let them. So Iron Man was in it because Sony was let him Spider-Man be in the Avengers stuff or whatever it was. They made some deal, but Fox owns the X-Men and the Fantastic Four properties, and it's just weird to have it so separate. Like I don't need a
that
movie.
It's
with,
true for like one brand.
I don't need a movie with everybody in it.
Yeah,
you know, but I mean, it's weird that like you can never have the X-Men interact with the Avengers
because of weird studio contracts.
Yeah, but I feel like a joint venture would have been profitable for both.
Would have been,
yeah.
By now, at some point, I think the X-Men needs to reboot. I mean, obviously, like you know, Hugh Jackman's retired,
right?
Halle Berry's 70 years old, and you know, they're just all getting like too old and too big and famous to do that kind of stuff.
Right.
And Patrick Stewart retired. So you know, if Disney, I don't know if that'll happen, but if Disney buys the if Disney really buys Fox, they should just like introduce the X-Men anew and then integrate it into the current MCU. Am I right, guys?
And then a throwaway line of like, hey, did you guys see that new Aladdin movie? Or just some reference to an old Disney.
Just a
throwaway line of like, just to promote their other.
Put Aladdin in.
Yeah. Just
Aladdin
to
be an Avenger
to bring it into the world. Just a throwaway line.
Yeah. So this is my new theory, which isn't probably really a hot take, but do you guys think basically like when the first Marvel movies came out, it was like a event to see like every Spider-Man movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now it's like, they just are blowing through like different.
Yeah, but they're
actors.
Better now. The Spider-Man movies weren't even that great. I mean, none of them were really.
But they're better now.
It was
now,
just
but,
Tobey Maguire and people were like,
I know that guy.
I
don't like any of the same.
I feel like it's almost now it's like the distribution model of comics back in the day where it's like the diehard fans have to see the new one and like maybe the general public won't see it, but it doesn't matter.
Well, the general public is seeing
they still do
them.
Are they
and
still
have
are,
you guys
yeah.
seen Thor Ragnarok?
I haven't seen it yet.
It's fucking dope.
I've heard it's good.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's like they just keep hiring good directors and giving them the freedom to do what they want, and they've kind of realized. I think I'm a huge Guardians fan, both movies, but especially the first one. But I think that this is this model of like, hey, let's keep it fun. Like, I think
pump
the best, the ones that work the best are funny.
I like the DC
movies, but they haven't been working.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, except for Wonder Woman. But, like, that's what's the best Marvel movies to me are Guardians and Ant-Man and this new Thor movie. Is that, you know, that when they're funny, you know.
Was Deadpool?
Deadpool's
Marvel.
That's
Disney,
Fox.
Yeah.
But that's Fox.
It's Marvel, though. Right?
It is Marvel, but it's in
it's
the
like
X-Men.
Right, right, right.
It's in the X-Men. No, it's the X-Men universe. Oh. But, in film, but I think the funny is what really works, and it's what DC's lost doesn't have going at all for it.
Yeah,
because you know you got to be funny or you got to be Christopher Nolan.
Yeah,
there's no middle ground.
Yeah,
right.
It's a good point.
Yeah, I more just think it's just like, it's like they pump them out so much and with no respect to who is.
Well, there's so
the
many
character
characters though
that they just change the character. It's more like. Spider-Man is the character, then Tobey Maguire is Spider-Man.
Spider-Man specifically, maybe. Yeah. Sounds like, because, you know, everyone else, like...
Batman, even though we're crossing over to DC, but Batman, like, all of a sudden Ben Affleck's
true.
Batman. Like,
but we've had one Thor for quite a while. Thor's been very consistent.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Iron Man,
yeah, consistent.
He wants out, though, I've heard, too.
I've heard that, too. We're on a third Hulk, but whatever.
Yeah, exactly. what's his name was the best? Ang Lee's Hulk.
I actually don't hate that movie either.
That's my favorite Hulk movie.
I know, I like that movie.
Ang Lee directed a Hulk movie?
Yeah.
Why the fuck did I not know that?
And he played Hulk too. He put on the mocap suit. And actually, that's true. I'm not
really?
Yeah. He just didn't.
Really?
I don't think
I
he was gonna originally, but he ended up putting. When you see the Ang Lee film, he put on the motion capture. All the Hulk movements
that's
are Ang
awesome.
Lee. Ang Lee doing
shout
it.
That makes it so much better.
Shout out to Ang Lee studying at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign.
He played that movie
Champaign.
At Ebert Fest in Champaign, Illinois. I had to get a champagne plug in the end of the podcast.
I thought he went to NYU. Is that grad school?
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know.
Big Ang Lee fan.
Champaign. Illinois, what a good city.
Chicago, you'll find a place called Champaign, Illinois, 124 miles west of Indianapolis. You will find Champaign and Champaign and Champaign
and Champaign.
Next episode, if I come back.
But Roger Ebert, while he was still alive, before he was wearing the cancer hoodie or whatever, he was wearing the voice thing.
Yeah, he lost.
He had me out, yeah.
But what did he
do? I love Roger Ebert.
What did he
but
do?
He has Ebert Fest every year, and now he's dead.
He's from Urbana, which is next to.
Oh, I got it.
But he like personally selected Ang Lee's Hulk as an overlooked film.
Ang Lee might be my favorite filmmaker. Yeah. I think Ang Lee's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, next time I'm on, we can talk about Sense and Sensibility. It's a great movie.
Okay.
And I'm not going to be able to talk about that. But
yeah,
we'll
have to watch it
for
that.
I'm going to be able to talk about Edward Norton as the Hulk, which is the movie that followed Ang Lee's Hulk, and that movie was bullshit.
Tim Roth thing sucked.
Because everyone
Hulk villain thing.
Just because everyone talked about how much like Ang Lee's Hulk sucked. Yeah. What's the guy's name? The actor who played him. I can't think of it. Eric Bana, yeah. And it was a good movie.
The problem with it is there was not really a villain. The villain was kind of like Nick Nolte playing an evil cloud, it turned out. Like, there was not really...
It was more just like, here's the Hulk.
Yeah, it was here's the Hulk, and then he fought the big giant Rottweilers at one point. But there wasn't a strong enough villain in that film.
Yeah.
The villain was like science in the military.
Yeah, exactly.
But I agree. It was kind of cool and brooding, and I like how he did the comic book paneling and stuff. You know, there's some neat stuff in it.
Yeah.
It's an underrated movie, and it's kind of considered a flop, and I think but not just it was a little bit of a not really commercial flop, didn't make the Spider-Man money, but it's considered a creative flop.
Yeah.
And I think that's unjust. I think it's a cool movie. And Eric Bana is so class. Right, guys?
There you go.
You're
here first.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think just you got anything to plug? Last little. Mike, you got anything to plug?
No, I'm good. Just check out, Jacob Siroff, whenever he's in town, and check out the podcast.
Yeah, check out the podcast, guys.
Thank you. Shutting down.
Will, you got anything to plug?
Nothing to plug. Just check out.
I always dread the plugs.
Check out Jacob Siroff.
That's why we do it at the end.
Yeah, Twitter. Yeah, I always whenever I go on a podcast or like and everyone's like, oh, plug. I'm like, I have to come up with something that sounds cool.
Have anything.
Will Siroff Bentley performed around town. Jacob Siroff performed around town.
Yeah. Check that stuff out.
We'll put it all in the thing. Yeah. No one's gonna be listening.
As usual, you can catch me telling jokes into a megaphone at the Silver Lake Reservoir. Also, want to promote my new show, 365 24/7, where I stand in front of the Whole Foods 365 and tell 24 jokes in 7 minutes.
That's true?
Coming soon. No.
Oh, you should totally do that.
I know. It's a pretty good concept, right? Yeah.
And also, because we talked about last time Jacob was on, we talked about Problematic, the show Jacob was writing on. And
oh, yeah,
also,
that's not coming back.
I know it's not coming back, but everyone should go back and watch it because I think it was a really great show.
I thought it was good.
No, not even lying. It was a great show.
Cool. Yeah. I'm sure Moshe will be glad to hear it.
Yeah.
And I am too. It was a fun show to work on. Yeah.
Can you tell Moshe that we thought it was
a good time? I'll tell Moshe. Just tell Moshe to listen to this episode. Yeah. Season 4.
Season 4, back
shout out.
Before. All right. Thanks for coming on again.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, man.
I don't know if we lived up to the first one because I feel like that was the most epic episode.
That was a great episode.
The Red Lion ever.
We'll edit the shit out of this. Yeah. Don't worry. We'll make it.
That's what I think. The key is editing.
Yeah.
Like, in closing. Boy, yeah.
All right. Thank you.